This is Rhema for today.
Who was a colleague of Wesley. And it's a historical fact. He came over here to the United States to preach. And he was preaching on the courthouse square in Boston, Massachusetts. Well, a lot of the young men and the boys climbed up in the trees, you see, because there's a crowd around there. And that Methodist preacher got up to preach. And he believed in the power of God and in the supernatural and in the manifestation and demonstration of God's Spirit. And he said, now before I start preaching, he said, you fellas come down out of those trees. Because he said, when I start preaching, the power will fall. Amen. The power will fall. And he said, it'll fall on you, and you fall out of those trees, and I'm going to get hurt.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, The Supernatural, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, Kenneth and Lynette will tell you about this month's radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
John Wesley. Wesley talks about when the first person fell under the power of God in his meeting. He didn't know what it was. And you know, if you read the history of Methodism, you'll find out in John Wesley's meetings that when he had preached, the power of God would fall, people would fall on the floor, hundreds of them. I said hundreds of them, falling under the power of God. Manifestation of the supernatural. Wesley says in his writings, I remember when the first person fell. A lady sitting right on the front pew just suddenly pitched out of her seat and fell on the floor. Well, he, right in the middle of his sermon, he naturally thought that, you know, something was wrong with her physically and that she had fainted or something. And he asked the question, is there a physician in the house? And there were three physicians. And he asked them to come and examine the woman. And the three doctors came and examined the woman. And they said, well, we don't understand it. Her heart beats normal. Her pulse is normal. Her respiration is normal. And yet she's cold all over. And then they said, she's under some kind of a spell or something. And then Wesley said there was a hypnotist present. And the hypnotist asked if he could have leave to examine her. And he examined her and he said, well, hey, she's under some kind of a spell. He tried to bring her out of it, but he said, it's not a hypnotic spell. I can't bring her out of it. But she's under some kind of a spell. And people asked, is it God? And Wesley said, I don't know. And some other people said, is it the devil? And Wesley said, I don't know. But if you'll just all hang around for a while, when she comes out of it, whoever did it will get the glory for it. Glory to God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just had some good old-time Methodist sense? So the woman lay there, Wesley said, for 45 minutes on the floor. He didn't resume his sermon. They all stood around and looked. Nobody went home. You see, when the supernatural's in manifestation, they don't want to go home. They want to wait, bless God, and see what's going on. Hallelujah. Nobody left. They all stayed. And after about 45 minutes, a woman began to stir a little bit. Some folks helped her to her feet. And the first thing she said was, praise the Lord. The next thing she said was, glory to God. Wesley said, it's God, it's God. God did it. Amen. And so then, when the woman regained her composure, she began to talk about that while she was there on the floor, as the Methodists used to call it, in a trance. It's just falling under the power. In a trance. Then Jesus came and appeared to her, took her up to heaven and escorted her through the glory world. She began to try to explain, describe some of it as best she could. I remember one of our Assembly of God ministers said to me, he was preaching years ago in Africa. And so he was preaching on one occasion in a Methodist church. So he said he just, you know, one of the larger cities, he said he just preached on salvation, you know. He believed in the baptism, the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues and all of that, but he just preached the salvation message. And he told me personally, he said, I gave an invitation because these were old-time Methodists and they still had a mourner's bench. And so five adults came to be saved. Well, the workers, the Methodist folks got out there and prayed with them. And they not only got saved, but they fell out under the power lying in the floor speaking in tongues. And the Assembly of God fellow said, "Oh, dear God, what in the world have I done? You know, I don't want to come in here and create confusion." And he said to the Methodist pastor, he said, "Now, I didn't preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't cause any problems for you. I don't believe it's right for Christians to go around causing problems for other people. You know, I wouldn't come into your church and try to preach something, you know, different than what you do." And he said, I just preached on salvation. And then these folks came to get saved. Now they wound up, you know, speaking in tongues and being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And this Methodist pastor said, "Is that what you Pentecostals call the baptism of the Holy Ghost?" "Yeah." "Why," he said, "all my converts get that for the last 35 years. Amen. Praise God. He said, "We just call it going into a trance. Going into a trance." Well, blessed be God. The Methodist, you know, were pretty well right about that. Bible said Peter went out on the housetop to pray and said he fell in a trance. Actually, the Greek says he fell over bodily. Hallelujah, because the power of God came on him. And so the power of God came on that lady in John Wesley's meeting, you see. He said, "It's God." The first thing she said was, "Praise the Lord." Now, some folks, it seems like it's difficult for them. Bless their hearts. You know, they don't want too much, you know, manifestation of any kind, you know. And then if there is some kind of manifestation, it's hard for them to distinguish. Is it God or is it the devil or just what is it? But if you just take a little Methodist sense, whoever does it will get the glory for it. Hallelujah. I remember one of my meetings in East Texas, in Tyler, Texas, a Presbyterian lady. I know she's a Presbyterian because she told me. And she had never been to one of those meetings before. And so she said to me, she said, I saw all this falling under the power business and all that sort of scared me. But I'm so crippled up with arthritis. I mean, it took her nearly 10 minutes to get out of the front. Had the birth of the care and the cane one hand, the husband on the other hand. The power of God came on her. She hit the floor like you'd knocked her in the head with a baseball bat. Amen. And I thought about, here's a Presbyterian woman, never been to a Pentecostal service, never been where the supernatural's in manifestation. She lay there under the power a while. You know what happened? Directly she began to move a little bit, and the lady and her husband, I just stood and watched, helped her to her feet. The first thing that Presbyterian, she wasn't used to talking that way. The first thing she said as she was getting up was, "Praise the Lord." She got up on her feet. The next thing she said was, "Glory to God." The next thing her husband tried to hand her walking stick, her cane. She said, "Can't you see that? I don't need that." All of her arthritis had disappeared. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God for the supernatural. I was reading, you know, after George Whitfield, who was a colleague of Wesley. And it's a historical fact. He came over here to the United States to preach. And he was preaching on the courthouse square in Boston, Massachusetts. Well, a lot of the young men and the boys climbed up in the trees, you see, because there's a crowd around there. And that Methodist preacher got up to preach. And he believed in the power of God and in the supernatural and in the manifestation and demonstration of God's Spirit. And he said, "Now, before I start preaching," he said, "you fellas come down out of those trees." Because he said, "When I start preaching, the power will fall." Amen. The power will fall. And he said, "It'll fall on you, and you fall out of those trees, you're liable to get hurt. So come on down." He wouldn't start his sermon until them men and the young boys and all got out of the trees. And then that Methodist preacher, George Whitfield, started preaching, and the power fell on the courthouse square. It's a historical fact in Boston, Massachusetts, and people fell all over the ground there under the power of God. Or somebody said, "We don't need that nowadays." My friends, the hunger and the desire in man for the supernatural is just as great as it ever was. How can you judge these things? Well, if it brings blessing to people, if it brings blessing to people, if it magnifies Jesus and glorifies the Lord and helps humanity, then bless God, it's all right. Can you say amen? I was preaching several years ago in Phoenix, Arizona, Full Gospel Business Men's Convention. when they used to have the convention out there, you know, at the Ramada Inn before they moved it. And then after the convention, I'd rented a hall there in the same Ramada Inn and had a five-day faith seminar. And so I remember then the next year, we were back there and they moved down to Belleville. I was back there teaching Full Gospel Bidding Men and a convention again. And then while I'm there, I decided that we would, you know, have a crusade again in the city. And it's hard to get something in the wintertime. Folks want to go when it's warm in the wintertime. We couldn't get anything. So the First Assembly of God there in Phoenix offered us their building.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Let's talk about the offer. You know, I want to talk about our daughter's CD called Anchor Moments. You know, in this, she talks about that many times God will just illuminate a scripture to you, maybe a song, whatever, that maybe something you're going through. We're talking about storms, something that you're going through that will just help you through that.
Be an anchor to you,
anchor moments. I remember that when, you know, our son Craig was, they diagnosed him with a brain tumor, and he was having to go through surgery. That's been many, many years ago. And I said to God, God, I just need an anchor moment. I just need something that I can give my son. And all of a sudden, there was a pen that just fell out of my closet. And this lapel pin said, you can make it.
Yes.
You can make it. And I gave it to him and I said, son, God just said you can make it.
Yes.
So anchor moments. We need these anchor moments.
And then I have this Ages, Stages, and Generations. It's actually three CDs. These are messages I preached at the church. But this is something that we say on the back here. And it's what I talked about. The generation gap is perhaps one of the greatest issues in the church today, yet one of the least addressed. Satan wants the young to despise the old, and the old despise the young. If he can divide us, we'll never be able to do everything that we should for God. Now, in this, I talk about how that everybody, every generation is at a different area, and they like different things, but we need to be able to have cohesion instead of separation.
Yes.
And to me, this is one of the best things I ever did in the church, to help everybody understand how to work together with one another, and it really works.
That's right. And my CD, what should we be focusing on? And of course, that is the positive and not the negative. And a book by our son, Don't Be Stupid.
That's taken from some messages he preached on the prodigal son. And actually, you know, it seemed like each generation looks at things differently, and he comes up with different things over the same messages that he's heard me preach and heard his pawpaw preach. But it's just a little different take
on the
prodigal son, and I think it's really good.
That's for a gift of $35 or more.
To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his teaching, The Supernatural. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.